You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello, it's The Weekend, and it's John Gibbons hosting this week, and I'm joined by Johnny Milburn, by Rob Gutman, and by Lizzie Doyle to look back on a fantastic win for Liverpool in Europe and look ahead, hopefully, to a fantastic derby win against Everton. We've also got a couple of segments for you, which I've done. I spoke to a couple of the guys from Sefton Park Rangers, looking at a big fundraiser they're doing for the Florry, which is a place close to, I think, everyone's heart on this call. And also, I spoke to Forbes Stuff from the LFC Foundation, or Red Neighbours, accurately or technically there, about a big push that they're doing this week in half term, but also around the Liverpool-Everton game. But in the meantime, I'll start with you, Johnny, and I thought you did pretty well the other night. Certainly a decent result away from home, sort of, in Europe.
Yeah, definitely. I think I've grown accustomed to watching Liverpool in the last few weeks through my fingers, and admittedly struggling to get myself up for the turmoil that we've been finding ourselves in, and it was a pleasant surprise really to put the match on and to actually see something that resembled the Liverpool team we've become so accustomed to over the last few years. I thought it felt like, certainly for the first hour or so, full throttle Liverpool, high tempo, high confidence, a team and shape that we recognised. And I think personally, as the game got into the last part, I don't know whether they got nervous or I got nervous, and Jürgen made a few substitutions, and it didn't seem to be substitutions that were making us necessarily stronger. I was gripping my seat and still PTSD'd a little bit from the Leicester game, and was a bit anxious getting towards the end. But like, to see the game out, 50th clean sheet for the goalkeeper, two of our front three looking back up to their absolute best, and it's a really nice platform, isn't it? You'd think we've got a great chance now of getting through into the next round of the Champions League, and we all knew, I'm sure we'll talk about Everton later on, but we knew that Everton would have a tricky midweek game, and they are not looking forward to the visit of the champions this weekend, and I cannot fucking wait.
Have you seen a bit of crying in? Have you, Johnny? Have you seen a little bit of crying in already?
I've seen Everton Twitter last night was absolutely box office. I didn't really watch the game, but I peered in like the voyeur that I am, with absolute glee, and never started searching back on my Twitter feed for the phrase "if we win our two games in hand," because there's some gold to be found in there, and yeah, just absolute joy. Now, they had no ambition to win that game last night, I'm sure, but obviously the equaliser off Richarlison's hip gave them cause for excitement, but they absolutely put back in their place last night, and it was a joy to watch it unfold on social media. But we're not talking about Everton yet. We're talking about the mighty Reds, and we're talking about the fizzy drinks manufacturer sponsored German team, and I was quite impressed with them, to be fair. I wasn't so impressed with Upper Meccano. I thought he was not as built.
Shite.
I think had you said that Kabak was our number one target in the window, and Upper Meccano was a fella that we'd managed to get in on deadline day, who we saw as a bit of a risk, I think that would be a bit more plausible than how it played on the night, to be brutally honest.
Yeah, shy centre-backs aside, though, Rob, they are a decent team. They're second in the Bundesliga, and we gave him a bit of a schooling, I thought.
Yeah, they didn't look all that, did they? May live to regret it. You know, they're a Nagelsmann team. They could come at second leg, you know, full octane, and we could, you know, we could eat our words. But I noticed the odds for us to go through this tie. I've checked them out because I'll be putting my compo bet. I think it's like, I think we're like 151 again, 150 to 1 against to go out now, which is pretty solid. I think
not on the saying, night over the tie.
You mean? Oh, no, to qualify. I think there's something like 70 to 1 to qualify. So I'm having a piece of that. To get the win was a relief, a really big relief. One, because I want to see Liverpool win a match again. Feels like it's been a while. Secondly, because keeping our season alive is hinged on remaining in the Champions League, isn't it? Very much is predicated on that. So it was a relief. I'm not going to say I came out with a big sort of hugely warm emotion that Liverpool are back. We were played like the champions we are, et cetera, et cetera. I do think we played very well, but everything exists within the context of what you do next. We found that out this season to our peril on a number of occasions. It's been steps backwards, steps forward, differing degrees. So I'm thinking that was good. That was nice. That was a start. But come on, again, boys, again. And that's what Everton's about.
How warm were your emotions after the game, Lizzie?
I was really warm with my emotions. Listen, I think we've not had a lot to smile about, have we, recently? So I think you do have to take each game by each game, really, which is what they done last season, whereas we were looking ahead constantly. Whereas I feel like it feels the other way around now, where we have to take each game into account and sort of just live each one, because we haven't had much to smile about. Like, let's be completely honest, we've been unlucky in some, we've been awful in some. And I think it was just really nice to see confidence oozing out of them again. I think that's something I've really missed from this Liverpool team, because even though we are not the same team, we've still got a lot of the same players who are still excellent footballers. And I'm just glad that they got a reminder of how good they can be. And I think, you know, it was a big night for Kabak. I think, you know, I don't think people realise how hard it is for him to come in at the stage he's come in under so much pressure after talk about centre-halves for all the season and how that will make everything better. He comes in, his first game's against Leicester, he sort of makes a mistake, if you want to call it that. You can argue about it till the cows come home. And then he's got to go straight into a Champions League game. Yeah, okay, against an opposition he's already played against. But I just think that was a really big step for him and in his confidence. And I just hope we take that into the Premier League. The change of pace was so, so good for Liverpool. Just having a team that actually play football really, really done us the world of good. But listen, we can't pick and choose how other teams play football. And believe me, and you've got to take Everton in consideration with this chat, and they won't be looking to do what Leipzig done. So I just hope that even if the style of play is different, that they can take the confidence with them instead.
There was a real determination about the play as well. I thought, Johnny, you know, I take Lizzie's points about styles. You know, styles make fights, as the old boxing saying goes. And I think this was something that we certainly saw in this game, and Liverpool, you know, coped with it well. Well, more than coped, sort of flourished in it. But I thought there was a good determination about them as well. And you saw that, you know, from the off, you know, especially from the forwards, they sort of led the way. But throughout the team, you know, there seemed to be sort of a bit more steel about Liverpool than maybe we've seen recently. And that'll help.
Yeah, I kind of drifted into the Thiago skeptic camp over the last few weeks. And I have to say, I was really impressed with him the other night. I thought he was doing mad things like tackling and winning the ball and not receiving a yellow card. And I think what happened is we watched that game, didn't we? The famous Chelsea away game where he came on and he looked like the absolute god. And he's probably never quite ever going to reach that level ever again in his life.
Neither will we, though, Johnny. That was the best day of our lives.
Best afternoon out of our lives. I think that cameo gave us a projection of what we thought he could potentially be. And it was probably so unrealistic. He's never going to reach that aspiration, and nor is he as bad as people have necessarily made him out to be. But I thought he gave a good, accomplished performance. I thought Jones had another really, really solid game in midfield, and I think I think that discipline and energy in midfield is the platform that gives us a solid defence and also gets us on the front foot attacking wise. And that was really in evidence the other night, that it's sort of having that synchronising and working really, really well together. I think was, it can be overlooked, because you can say Mane's taking his chances, Salah looked unplayable, the lad at the back looks a little bit more solid, and obviously when our fullbacks get on form, and again Trent had another good game, didn't he? I think deserves a mention, but I think we need that function in midfield, and it's probably the bit of the team that when we've celebrated winning the league, we've kind of said the goalkeeper and Van Dijk have transformed this team, and we've already got the best front three in the world. The midfield often is the bit that gets almost damned with faint praise. It's regarded as a functional recycling midfield rather than being sort of the most creative midfield in the world, and the creativity often comes from the flanks. And I just think we just look a lot more like our normal selves, and I think the attitude was spot on, the energy was spot on, and I agree with Lizzie that from a stylistic point of view, they were a good opponent. They didn't come and try and play for a 0-0. They wanted to try and win the game, and they had some good chances, actually. They came forward, and it was all, in retrospect, it was absolutely perfect for us. And I think, we, as Rob says, we've got a brilliant chance now to see ourselves through to the next point. And again, what Rob says, it's a great restart. And I think Everton are a great opponent to take that on, because there's no way on earth these guys will take Everton for granted or be half cooked when we play Everton on Saturday night. The only issue really is that we can't be there, isn't it? Because what a Saturday that would be. Oh my, it's going to be great. I bought a karaoke machine and so my post-match entertainment, I've ordered some kegs of beer from Black Lodge Brewery and a karaoke machine to have my post-derby party. I'm going at it big. I'm going hard. And I'm extremely confident.
Absolutely unreal. Craig Cannon's got a little karaoke machine. He keeps sending me like little videos. Him and his missus bladdered on a Saturday night, like doing karaoke. It's really funny. So I want more from you, Johnny. Get them in the Chelsea WhatsApp group. Johnny talked about a lot of things there that I'd love to talk about more. But certainly that the fullbacks is something that he touched on. That's worth, I think, highlighting a little bit more. I thought they were both really good, actually. Trent gets the man of the match from Sky. A few different man of the matches sort of passed about, but the Sky one went to Trent, and I thought fully deserved. I thought Robertson, you know, did well, but Trent was more eye-catching. Some of his passes, especially first half, were much more like what we want to see from Trent.
Yeah, I think Trent has had the focus on him during our bad run quite a lot, and some of it's been unfair, in my opinion. I think he's done okay, more than people appreciate. I actually think, and I'm not just being a contrarian here, that the bigger issue has been on our left-hand side. I think Robbo hasn't quite been himself. I think he did okay the other night. And it's not just Robbo, it's the Robbo-Mane axis. Yeah. It's not the same thing. And the reason it isn't, to my mind, is that we've been found out a little bit, and I don't think we've reacted properly to it. The number of games I've watched in the last 10 where we've had relegation form in the league, where the ball funnels its way left, Robbo gets it. He looks ahead of him, and there's men. There's opposition players there going quite tight to his left as he's looking, and therefore he checks back. He checks back, and the move breaks down. In the past, if they tried that, he'd be bold. He'd just clip it over the top and go on, Sadio, go for a little run. We'll even if you lose it, we'll be there. Me and Ginny or somebody will be there behind you to gegen press the fucker back. And then we'll be on the front foot against one man rather than two. But the bravery, it's not just him. Rio Ferdinand was very good, I thought, pre-game on the BT coverage. I don't know if anyone saw that. He talked about, he analysed Liverpool's recent woes, and he focused on that phenomenon, how we're checking back, we're being fearful, we are not being as direct, and you could see that directness coming back against Leipzig. It was helped, again, as Lizzie said, by the right sort of opponent who had grass in behind them, so Thiago was able to put his head up and go bang, long. Liverpool are a structured long ball team. It's how we play. We play off Klopp always uses the term, the second ball. It's been a while since we've heard Klopp saying we were good today or not so good on the second ball. There have been no second balls to win lately because we've not been brave enough. And I think, yes, against Leipzig, we were brave. I still think some of the issues were there with Robbo and Mane on that side, although the pair of them individually didn't play too badly. But we've got against a low block like Everton will present, and they will do what have watched how Mane and Robbo carved them apart time again at Goodison in the autumn. They will try and stop that ball down the line, and Robbo will have to think about doing something better than checking back inside and passing it to what will be Hendo, won't it, to his right every time.
Just final word then on the Leipzig game and where it puts us, Lizzie, and it puts us in a really nice position to go forward. And the good thing about the Champions League is that they do sort of spread the games out, and so it's just a couple playing each night. And, you know, I wouldn't say all eyes were quite on Liverpool, you know, because, you know, PSG Barca was probably the tie of the evening, but people will go, oh, sake, Liverpool have gone through again. And it will just, you know, remind everyone sort of around Europe and around the world, really, you know, in terms of the Liverpool, you know, likely to go through to the quarterfinals and likely to be a force in this competition again.
Yeah, and I think as well, it's just that thing that we know this cup is magical to us, and that's a thing, even without fans there. I just think it's something that, obviously, I know every team takes it very seriously, but there's just something with Liverpool and Europe, isn't there? And I do think it was just a nice sort of change for them. I think even someone mentioned it the other day, I think it was Ben Jono, it was saying about, like, getting on a plane. He'd go on EasyJet around Liverpool if he could with a gin and tonic, and believe me, I would as well, on a little private plane, or an EasyJet would do me, you know, I'm fine with that. But I'm saying, like, just for them to just get away from everything and then go there, and we look good, like, and we did look good. Not amazing, but we looked good. And I think, even though it didn't feel like away goals because of the whole mad neutral venue situation and not knowing if our home game's going to be played at our home ground, I think to get those two away goals is huge. Like, we always talk about away goals in the Champions League. And I think, like, if we would have got a draw, like, 1-1, or, you know, a 1-0, we would have took it, but to get two and keep a clean sheet does not have set you up nicely for the return leg. And that return leg's in a couple of weeks now. And, you know, they've got three Premier League games before that, two or three anyway.
It's three.
So, yeah, they've got three. All right, Mr. Overview, can tell Rob's on the show.
Well, do you want to know which games they are, Lizzie?
But, yeah, no, I just think it's a nice break. And there will be tough games in terms of the opponents they face and how they set up. But no, it really is huge to go into that second leg with that the two goals essentially.
The Overview is one of many excellent shows available to you if you subscribe to the Anfield Wrap, theanfieldwrap.com/subscribe, audio and video and everything you could possibly want, looking ahead to huge games and obviously analysing them as well. And you get loads of Gutman's award-winning content too. Oh. But we're going to have a little bit of a break now. Well, you're not going to get a break from me. Apologies for that. You're going to get lots of me. In fact, speaking to both Sefton Park Rangers and Forbes from Red Neighbours about what they're up to at the moment. And then we're going to be back in this room looking ahead to Everton. Hope you enjoy. Harry's are back, Neil. The back, the bold, and the with us, and we appreciate it.
We do appreciate it, but people's faces would appreciate it too. And I think that this is a really, really important sort of step. And not just people's faces, but possibly people's legs. You know, I mean, we've recently broken ground in the below-waist grooming area, John. But I think there's a strong line of thought if you read the women's weeklies around this idea that you're often better off getting male grooming products from a female point of view, cheaper, more efficient, and actually, ironically enough, some would say kinder. And that is definitely the case for Harry's, where there's a hell of an offer for us.
Yeah, there is. If you go to harrys.com/Anfield, you can claim a trial set for just $4.95. Plus, there's a free shower gel at the moment as well.
Shower gel?
Yeah, free shower gel. They're branching out. Jeff and Andy, just...
If it's as good as the aloe vera stuff for your face, what can we get them to send us some of the shower gel?
Yeah, is it just free? Or can I can I purchase it? Can I give them cash money to send it? Because, yeah, as you say, if it's as good as that rich lathering shaving gel, then they're certainly on to a winner. But that is the offer at the moment. If you start your subscription with a trial set for just $4.95 and you get the weighted ergonomic handle, their new five-blade razor cartridge, the rich lathering shaving gel that me and Neil have banged on about both here and previously, and the treble blade cover that both me and Neil lost immediately. And so, yeah, if you go to Haddies.com, you'll always also receive this free, it's a travel-sized shower gel, which will be useful at some point.
At some point. I mean, I think my worry, John, is that is, you know, you are playing the long game there on the travel-sized one. And if it is truly travel-sized, then it could go the same way as the travel, the travel kit. If you're not too careful, I'd use it now. Use it, live today. Don't live tomorrow, live today.
Yeah, it might be travel size, but you can use it in your shower. Also, Neil, they're messing with your pre-flight routine of hitting the boots up.
Yeah, oh, very much so. It's a very, very important part. It's one of the best bits about, you know, there's so many parts of going to airports that I miss, but that is indeed one of them. When we get back to airports, John, will boots even be there? I mean, that's one hell of a question. Yeah. Can someone confirm? Text in if boots is still flying if you go through Liverpool Airport. I'm sure for entirely justifiable reasons.
Yeah, well, hopefully we can all do that once again. But right now, you can still claim the Haddies trial set. If you go to Haddies.com/Anfield, do it, as Neil says. It's a fantastic shaving experience that we strongly endorse. And it's John Gibbons for the weekend. I'm delighted to be joined over Zoom by Alex and Jake from Sefton Park Rangers. Boys, welcome to the Anfield Wrap. Well, in Jake's case, welcome back. But for you, Alex, welcome.
Cheers, John.
Cheers, mate. Thanks for having us.
And we're here to talk about a bit of a fundraiser you guys are doing for the Flory, which obviously most people will know listening to this now, and will certainly know that it's a place close to the Anfield Wrap's heart. But first of all, if you could tell us a little bit about the football team, Alex, why you sort of set it up, because I know it's a new thing, so what you were hoping to sort of achieve by it, and what you guys have been up to?
Yeah, so Sefton Park Rangers is a community football club. We play grassroots football in a league. Me and Jake set up a year ago now. I forget, to be honest. It feels like it's all become a bit of a blur, but our main focus is, like, you know, grassroots footy, getting the community involved, getting good people around us, just having a laugh playing football, really.
Yeah, it's always felt to me, Jake, as, like, you know, sort of a bit more than your standard, say, you know, Sunday league side. And that's not to say that, you know, there's anything sort of wrong with that. You know, people getting together to play footy every week is great and important and people love it. But for you guys, I know a lot of you had sort of fell out of football, if you like, and sort of come back into it and wanted it to be sort of a little bit different, really, and wanted you to have a slightly bigger sort of footprint on South Liverpool than just a game of footy every week.
Yeah, I mean, we sort of approached it in that way, really. I mean, when we started talking about doing it, it was almost like, all right, well, we don't really just want to start a team. It kind of felt like we need to do more, and we kind of did what, you know, every one of us has done, really, you know, on like Footy Man or whatever, and sort of designed a club and designed a team based on, you know, what we thought was right. And as I say, at the time, we were both living around this area and both loved this area, so we wanted to make it sort of welcome and one that represents the area, and, you know, with the kits and the Dutch influence that we have, and it was a sort of, as much as a physical outlet, it was a creative outlet, really, for us.
And obviously going well and you know, recruiting all the time as well, including Dan Morgan, host of the review show, a new star left back. You know, how's he getting on? Be honest, if he's shite, just say, do you know what I mean? Because he does it every week, don't he? He's criticising every week, so.
No, he was a good signing, to be fair, Dan. I mean, he probably tells the story that, you know, we were hounding him for a while, but I think he was hounding me, to be honest with you. We had to kind of wait for his place to open up, but yeah, you know, he's a good lad, Dan, and he kind of fits the model that we're after in the sense of, you know, we won't just take like anyone on, really. We kind of want somebody who kind of buys into the whole sort of ethos of the club, and you know, somebody who's kind of going to be a good person to have around and whatnot. So he's a good lad, Dan, as you know.
Has he got you all doing yoga like Ryan Giggs? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, he's got me on it, mate, to be fair. Yeah, yoga is easy, on YouTube. I've got the leg warmers and everything, mate. But yeah, he's, yeah, but he, Yeah, it's very call on me at the minute with the Zoom sessions, to be honest with you.
what a sexy thought that is. Anyway, so one thing you're doing at the moment is a fundraiser for the Flory, and it's a big run. Alex, you're running the distance from here to Amsterdam.
Yeah, that's right. It's the fourth charity activity we're doing, really. We've done a few now. We did the Community Cup most recently. We did a run at the start of lockdown for the NHS. And it's a good way of just getting the lads together, really, like engaging, like getting fitter, but also, you know, doing something for charity as well, which is like, yeah, important to us all, really. Sorry, go on, mate.
No, it's all right. I thought you were done. Sorry.
No, yeah.
So I was going to say this one's for the Flory, Jake, isn't it? Which is a fantastic institution. People will have seen it recently on the videos that Tim Owen Lee did, and yeah, people will be well aware of the great work they're doing, you know, every day to support their community. And yeah, it's great that, you know, because they need help, they need continued help in terms of keeping going. So I'm sure you guys were sort of delighted to nominate them.
Yeah, I mean, we're based in LA, so we play out of the Tiber. So we've got two teams now, John. So both of our teams play out of the Tiber. So we kind of want to put down roots there, really. As Alex said, we did the Community Cup for the Greenhouse Project. We're based there. And we've all seen the video of the King of the Dingle and Lee and Timo and Manny. And Timo is, you know, as you know, he's a mate of mine, and we kind of walk the dog together. But also Ben, who plays for us, did some work for the Flory as well with the food bank stuff. So it's important for us to just kind of help out where we could. And Eddie, who does our charity stuff, highlighted them, really, and couldn't think of a better cause.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, if people want to donate and if people sort of want to get involved, the best place is to go through the website, which is seftonparkrangers.co.uk/the community. We'll tweet that out at some point as well, but it's seftonparkrangers.co.uk/the community, and you can read all about it. You can read all about this virtual run that they all are doing. They've got a target of $2,000, and it'd be great if we can help them reach that on more. And the run takes place on the 27th of February. And there's a lovely design as well for it, it's got to be said. I don't know who sort of wants to come in on that, but there's a lovely T-shirt that's been done by a local company as well.
Yeah, that's a shout-out to Roy McCarthy from Cooler Studios. So he's a design agency based out of Liverpool. He put it together for us, and we're made up with it. It's like got that Dutch influence, but it's also like a bit of fun. All the money from those T-shirts is going back to the fundraiser as well, so it's all to a good cause.
Yeah, shout out to Cooler Studio. We pushed something they did as well around pubs in Liverpool. And I think those T-shirts are still for sale if you want to check them out. Some of their favourite pubs, which just so happen to be some of ours at the Anfield Wrap as well, selling T-shirts with those design on. And all the money went to the pubs themselves, because obviously they can't open at the moment, and it's around sort of keeping them going. So if you want a T-shirt of the Lion pub on Tyburn Street, and why wouldn't you? Those available as well. But enough about that. Obviously, we're here to talk about the boys. So I'll say again, it's seftonparkrangers.co.uk/the community if you want to donate to that, and if you want to sort of get involved in generally what they do, I'm sure they'd love to hear from you. And we'll see how we do. Who do you think's going to run? Is he going to all run the same, or do you think there's going to be a few picking up the slack more than others?
We're all kind of committed to do a half marathon. We kind of have to, really. So I think there's about 37 of us, including me and Alex, with the managers and the officials and all that. So I think to do the distance, we've all got to kind of hit that half marathon. So there's no room for slackers, to be honest with you, John. We've kind of been cracking the whip a little bit, which is funny, isn't it, coming from me? but yeah, so we'll all be doing a half marathon on the 27th, so you'll see us all legging down the path in that orange.
So look out for that if you're in the South Liverpool area. But in the meantime, nice one to the boys, and good luck with it, eh?
Cheers, mate. Thanks for having us on.
And it's John Gibbons, and it's the Last Fan Standing quiz. And Last Fan Standing is an app that you download on your phone, and it tests your Liverpool knowledge, your LFC knowledge. There's other clubs on there as well, but we're only interested in the LFC stuff, of course. And Mainly because we host it as well, so me and Neil do a lot of the quizzes, so you'll more than likely than not see me or Neil. It's one of all the other at the moment, obviously COVID times and all that. We're doing them sort of remotely, but we're doing our best. And yeah, we'll bring you the quizzes, including the Everton one match predicted this weekend, which would be good fun. And if you could predict what can happen in the game, and you could be the last fan standing. So it's completely free. Get it on your phone, download it. It's available on iTunes. iPhone, show me age there, iPhone and Android, so get involved. And so we're going to have a bit of a demonstration about how the Last Fan Standing quiz works. And to join me to do that, I've got Andy Robertson. I'll have to be very careful how I say that. It'll be Andy. I mean, you must get it, but it's so tempting to call you Andy Robertson, but it's Robinson.
It is, yeah.
How are you? Are you good?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. Are you okay?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. How are you coping at the moment? How are you doing with everything going on?
I'm doing all right. I think, you know, obviously people are always in a worse position than you, so just got to be conscious of that, haven't you?
Yeah, be conscious of that indeed. So we'll go through the quiz anyway. You keep going until you get one wrong. That's how the quiz app works, and that's how we do it as well. So we'll get going, Andy. So question one is, where did Liverpool beat RB Leipzig in the round of 16 match this week? Was it Prague, Leipzig or Budapest?
Budapest.
It was correct. Number two, who scored his 20th European goal for Liverpool in the 2-0 win over Leipzig? Was it Sadio Mane or Mo Salah?
Mo Salah?
No, it was Mane. It's hard, that, isn't it? That is hard. Salah must have more. Salah's always got more. But Sadio Mane, I'd have gone Salah as well, and I'd have been wrong. Everyone keeps getting one. It's like a thing. Oh, but never mind. anyway, you got stuck in and you had a go, mate. Just before you go, how are you feeling about the weekend, about the derby, your confidence?
If Fabinho's fit, you know what he's like, maybe. I don't, it's one of those, we've got a few weaknesses in centre-back, haven't we? But look, hopefully they just bottle it in front of empty seats, because you do when there's people there, don't you?
Hopefully, mate. Hopefully more than the same. Hopefully more than the same. Listen, Andy, top man for playing. I really appreciate it. As I say, download the app. It's Last Fan Standard. It's available on Android and on iPhone as well. And yeah, play the LFC ones and compete with your friends. Get people playing as well and get that ITK score up. I'm reliably informed that Liverpool fans are second at the moment behind Tottenham. So doing well, but we want to go above Spurs, don't we? Really, we're smarter than them. So maybe with your help, we can do that. But in the meantime, nice one, Andy. And cheers. Back to the show. It's John Gibbons for the weekend, and I'm joined by Forbes Duff, who's an old friend now. He's also a senior manager of Red Neighbours at Liverpool Football Club. So, Forbes, welcome back to the Anfield Wrap.
Thanks, John. Good to speak to you today. I hope you're keeping well.
Yeah, all good here. Thanks, mate. And I wanted to talk to you, well, about a couple of things, really. But first of all, you know, we've tried to keep, you know, our listeners and Liverpool supporters around the world informed about what the Neighbours are doing and what the foundation have been doing during this pandemic to support people in lots of different ways in the local area. But I know this week especially is half term, which can be a challenging week for parents, either working parents or otherwise, you know, in terms of, you know, what to do with the children, but also kind of, you know, in many ways feeding the children as well. It's half term's been something that you guys have had a lot of focus on over the last few years, and I guess just because the pandemic, it's no different this time.
No, that's the case. I think we've always identified the holiday periods as a time where we like to host families at Anfield, and we like to make sure that people who are struggling for food have got access to food. And the pandemic sort of highlighted even more how many families need our support. So unfortunately, we can't invite people to Anfield, but what we have done is we've been able to send food out to local families. And we've done that through the schools network, mainly in Anfield and Kirby. So this week we've sent out between ourselves, the Red Neighbours and the LFC Foundation, around about 850 breakfast parcels that have gone out to families. And they're families that schools have identified that need a little bit of support during this period. So we're delighted to do that. And we try to do that every half term, you know, summer holidays, October half term, the key holiday times, try and make sure that we're able to offer some type of food provision for those schools who've reached out to us. So that's what's happening this week in regards to like breakfast, taking away our breakfast clubs, but we've done breakfast packs instead.
Yeah, just taking that on the road, if you like. Have you found, Forbes, the numbers of people who are sort of looking out for services that similar to you guys are providing has grown? Because I know, obviously, you know, it's a time it's a difficult time in lots of ways, but also, you know, people are losing work, unfortunately. People are sort of struggling that little bit more. And I don't know if you found, you know, the people who are coming to you, you know, are greater numbers than previously.
Yeah, definitely. The numbers have gone up, and I think a lot of people who they may be proud, or it may be pride stopping them from putting their hands up and asking for help. We've seen a number of community groups and especially schools reach out to us looking for additional support. Can we help with food? Can we help with extra provision? And we've done that. So yeah, I would say the pandemic has highlighted even more, and it's probably forced more people who are on that, you know, on not poverty line, but are on that line of just about keeping their head above water, all of a sudden are now maybe struggling. And you know yourself, if a washing machine goes, or a Hoover goes, or a big item in your house goes, and then you're looking to replace that, it's difficult. And we all know that families will put their children first before them when it comes to food and priorities. So we are looking at the families as a whole. How can we support them? And yes, we're focused on food, but if there's other ways that we can help, if it's education packs being sent home or doing little things like that, essential packs, then that's what we've tried to do. But unfortunately, numbers have gone up. But the good thing is that there is a lot of organisations out there, us included, that are trying to help those in need. So we're all playing our part as best we can.
Yeah, and I know all working together as much as you can as well, certainly in North Liverpool, which is great to see. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about, Forbes, was plans ahead of the derby. So obviously there's a big Merseyside derby this weekend. I'm sure people don't need me to tell them who are sort of listening to this. And normally that's a big weekend for fans supporting food banks in terms of collections. I know there's a big push. None of us are going to be at Anfield this weekend. Well, certainly not at the stadium, which is a real shame. But obviously fans supporting food banks, you know, still need to collect. In fact, as we've, you know, touched on here, sort of more so than ever. What are you doing, you know, with them and to support them this weekend to make sure that, you know, it is as successful as possible?
Yeah, so fan support and food banks are doing a call to action to all fans, Liverpool, Everton fans, football fans across the world, to unite together to A, watch the game. So, you know, watch the game in your home or however you plan to do it, if it's on TV, on your laptop, your phone, however. But then also to have in the back of your mind about a food donation. So wherever you are in the world, are you able to make a food donation to your local food bank, to your local soup kitchen, or to a community group that you know is in your area that may be struggling? So there's a campaign being launched, and if you follow Fan Support and Food Bank online, you'll see that they've got a hashtag that they're pushing out this weekend. So that's one thing that we are doing as a club, and we are sort of promoting that, and we'll be messaging as we lead up to Saturday's game about asking fans to consider those who are maybe struggling for food in your area. Also, similar to the derby at Goodison Park, the first team will be wearing a warm-up T-shirt with the fan supporting logo in the middle of the shirt. So we're hoping that in the pre-match build-up, as we know, when the broadcasters zoom in on the warm-up and zoom in on the training once the team's announced, and we're hoping that will create awareness really of fan support and food banks, because although it was originated here in Liverpool and it was by the two supporters clubs, Liverpool and Everton, fan support and food banks goes up and down the UK and now also internationally. So it's looking at that bigger awareness piece to say, you know, we know food poverty hasn't gone away. We know that food banks are still needed more than ever. However, we can all play a part. We can all make a difference or make a donation. It doesn't matter how big or small, but we're really pushing awareness around food banks and food equality. And that all ties into a bigger piece. I'm sure you're aware of it, the Right to Food campaign that's being petitioned at the moment, obviously led by Ian Byrne, our MP, and you know, a huge Liverpool fan. And we're really behind that movement as well. And we're looking to see if fans who are passionate about making a difference and making a social change or a culture change, would you consider reading the petition and would you consider signing it if you're a UK resident? So that's the push around the derby. A little bit long-worded, but ultimately asking fans to watch the game, enjoy the game, but then also consider, could you support a local food bank or a food activity within your area, no matter where you are around the world, especially here in the UK.
Yeah, it would be fantastic to do that. At S Food Banks, if you want to see what they are up to and you want to follow them, obviously, and you want to support them, all the links will be there at S Food Banks on Twitter. We will share all the links as well. But just to sort of finish up on the Food Banks, Forbes, because you mentioned there before that, you know, it's an organisation started, you know, here in Liverpool by a red and a blue, which is always kind of nice coming together and, you know, under the motto football, you know, doesn't wear, sorry, hunger doesn't wear club colours. And, you know, you must be sort of, you know, I don't know if proud's the word, but you know, you've seen, you know, what sort of Ian and Dave have done and achieved, and you know, they always laugh, say we started with a wheelie bin, you know, outside the ground, and now it's, you know, it's become this huge thing that other cities and other football teams have looked to, and you know, they've had national recognition now with both BBC Sports Personality of the Year and things like that. And I think it should give us all a lot of pride in terms of what they've done, and the fact that people are looking to Liverpool, you know, unfortunately with their own sort of, you know, kind of issues as well. But, you know, you've been on that journey with them, alongside them and supported them, and to see sort of how far they've come, and now, as I say, other teams looking to sort of copy their model is an amazing achievement.
Yeah, it is. Do you know, I know what you mean. I don't know if pride's the word, but I'd say it's a privilege. I think that Ian and Dave are both fantastic guys who have a genuine heart for others, who want to make a difference. And, you know, we as LFC and me personally, I'm keen to support as many people as we kind of need. And I think it has been a privilege to be on that journey. And, you know, we started about 4 years ago, and before Community Pantries were rolled out, I went with the team through to Southport, Stockport and Greater Manchester, and we viewed what they were doing. And I think it's fantastic that Liverpool and are being highlighted as the best practice. So how we as a football club have engaged with fans, and how we've been able to sort of bring that football, the LFC family together, to really support awareness of food poverty. And to sort of push the donations online. And I think you know yourself, John, that when a call to action goes out to Liverpool fans, if they're passionate and they understand the campaign or the process, then they back it 100%. Yeah. And we've seen that over a number of campaigns, regardless if it's food related or not. So for me, it's been a great privilege to work with Ian and Dave and Robbie and all the others behind the scene, Gary and people that might not have heard of, and the whole host of volunteers that help fans supporting food banks. And then when you look at the North Liverpool Food Bank and also South Liverpool Food Bank, it's great to be able to support them and ensure that we are a club that cares and wants to give back. I think, as I say, it's been a privilege, and I just hope that, you know, maybe one day we can live in a world where food banks are not needed. But while there is a need, I think we as a football club have a responsibility to answer and to act. And I feel that that's what we're doing, is to the best of our ability.
Really agree. Huge thanks to Forbes for joining us. As I said, it's at S Food Banks if you want to check what they are doing up to the Merseyside Derby this weekend. Also, if you want to follow more about what Red Neighbours are up to, it's at @red_neighbours on Twitter if you want to see more of their activity as well. But thanks a lot to Forbes, and back to the main show.
Okay, hope you enjoyed all that. And then back amongst the real businesses, Liverpool, Everton on Saturday. It's a shame we can't be there, but you expect Liverpool to turn up as a team, though, Lizzie. You know, they won't have the sort of fans behind them, but this is a big game, both in the context of our season, in the context of what Rob was talking about in that first part about following up good wins with another good performance. And also, they'll remember what happened at Goodison Park. You know, they'll remember the fact that Van Dijk still hasn't played. Thiago, remember the sort of the treatment he got. And, you know, they'll play it down before, but that'll be in their minds what happened there as well.
Oh God, yeah, they'll be bang up for it. And I want Andy Robbo to be like the little star that he is, you know, getting in everyone's ears, just sort of like whispering those things, like, remember what he'd done to Van Dijk, remember what he'd done to Thiago, and just sort of getting it and getting everyone riled up, because I think this is something that they have to do themselves without us there. Like, we can get up for it at home, we can get up for it there. And I'm not saying that they won't, but like, it's an extra thing on them to do, to get it from within themselves, to really get up for this, like a proper Merseyside derby. And also, like, you've got to understand that this is, God forbid me for saying it, but this is the closest that it's been for a long time. Yep. You know, Everton have really sort of stepped up their game, and our game's dropped a bit, and they will be licking their lips. You know, we're technically, in everyone's eyes, we're a wounded animal. So you know, it feels like for Everton fans, they're probably thinking, friggin' hell, if we can't win here, when can we ever win there? You know, they've not got any players. Everyone, every man and his dog's injured. You know, there's no fans. They're in a terrible run of form. We've got Carlo Ancelotti. Do you know what I mean? Like, technically, as an Everton fan, you should be really quite confident going into this game. But the thing is this is such a big game for both teams. And I just feel like Liverpool now, like, I think even without the Leipzig results, I think would have been looking at this one to sort of reset, because they love the big games, don't they? And even though the results haven't gone our way, like, say, for example, with City and Leicester, you know, the play was better. And, okay, we've seen a couple of mistakes and stuff like that, but I just feel like the mindset and the mentality was a bit different for those games. And I think we can really expect to see that again this weekend.
Yeah, I agree with Lizzie, Rob. I think we can expect the mentality to be right. Discipline all comes into it, doesn't it? It's the game with the most red cards, you know, in Premier League history, if you want to do that as a stat. You know, it doesn't seem to be just the fans to sort of blame for G and everyone, because there wasn't any at Goodison Park and they were still throwing in tackles left, right and centre. So although I agree with Lizzie's, you know, role for Andy Robertson in this, also, you know, it's about keeping our heads, isn't it? Especially if they're losing this.
Yeah, it's funny to reflect back on the derby, just how much of an Evertonian derby it was in terms of their recklessness. It's almost as if they'd feared no fans being there would get rid of the sort of levelling aspect of the derby. Do you know what I mean? Regardless of where Liverpool and Everton are in the table, it's a closer affair than it should be. Usually at Goodison, I would say, not so much at Anfield in recent times. So I think, I don't know if necessarily with Ancelotti would have instigated that, but maybe a few of the more vocal lads in their dressing room would have gone, come on, this is a derby. Let's make sure they know we're here. Whether they'll do that again, I don't know. I'm hoping at the back of their minds they'll think we don't want to make twats of ourselves the way they did last time. And really, but for the grace of God, they survived a thrashing last time. I mean, had we got the penalty or the sending off when Van Dijk was injured, it would have gone two pretty quickly, and they probably would have ended up getting a substantial beating that day. As to this one, I'm a big believer in when's the right time to play it, when is playing a team at the right or wrong time. And Lizzie's just said they should fancy it because of Liverpool's recent travails, but I'm not so sure it's going to work out that way for them, for the following reason. I think we're playing them at the right time. They've just taken two beatings in a week, I think both at home, one humiliatingly to Fulham, one lamely to Man City. We have played okay, got a bad result against Leicester, and done really well and had a real confidence boost in midweek. So I think it's the right time for us to be playing them in many ways. The one thing I think they've sort of got in their favour, if we're looking at the pros and cons of all this, is that we have travelled away in Europe, and travelling away in Europe is never a picnic. It always seems to have some sort of an impact. Again, they've played a game a day more recently than us, but we have had the travel factor. So I think our use of subs could be important in this.
I also think, sorry, John, I also think that, like, what they will benefit from is, you know, we've been talking all the while about this team's playing the low block. God, how many times have we said it over the last couple of weeks? And they've got a master in it. Do you know what I mean? They've got an Italian master in Carlo Ancelotti, who, believe me, will probably be setting up that way. They're still coming to Anfield, fans or no fans. There's no way they're going to go hell for leather. So that's another thing that they'll be sort of like hoping for, is that we'll just sit back and see if we can nick one. That's going to be their game plan, isn't it?
Ancelotti's said that Cavalier should be back for this one. Johnny, they do miss him when he's not there. And so I take Rob's point about the two losses, but he's become such a focal point for them. You know, when he's missing, they sort of don't really know what to do. So, you know, he's got his derby goal already this season, and he's one to sort of think about from an Everton point of view, is that I expect that they'll play much better with him in the side than with us.
Yeah, and dare I say it, he seems like an all right lad as well. He's the acceptable face of Evertonian, which is never a nice thing to say. I kind of go along with Lizzie's view that it's a good time to play Everton. I think my recent memory of derbies is that there always seems to be something that gets their tails up in the week leading up to the dot, or in the weeks. we've done better in derbies when they're absolutely convinced it's their year to break this hoodoo. And then, like, we decide to play 17-year-olds in the first 11, or we've had an injury crisis, or insert your own thing. Everton have always gone into these derbies believing they're in the ascendancy, and within half an hour they realise that they're Everton, and we've outplayed them, particularly at Anfield. That's been the case, and as we know, we found new and inventive ways to humiliate the modern Everton team, so I do have a slight concern that we're going into this game and their tails will be deservedly down. I think they will be licking their own wounds. Rob is absolutely right. They've been beaten comfortably twice this week already at home. They put up a good performance against both Tottenham and Manchester United. High scoring games in both of those. But they've also been beat by Newcastle. Now, they will look at our form and say we've been turned over by some relatively low-ranking opposition as well. So I do wonder whether you can make an equally strong argument about who's favourite for this team. Dominic Calvert-Lewin will be an important player to come back for them. But I think all things being equal, this is a game where, as Rob said earlier on, if Liverpool can capitalise on the confidence they've got from that midweek game, take it into... I take Rob's point about travelling, but we're not playing until Saturday night. It's a good break, isn't it? We've got a good few days to recover, bit of time to do some stuff on the training pitch and tactically prepare. They'll have had the legs run off them last night, and so I think they're likely to be slightly more jaded than we are going into this game. I think you're also right; it's a game for subs, and arguably one of our current weaknesses is our bench is looking lightweight in terms of making changes. I can't remember the last time we made a sub and thought, oh, that's made us stronger, that's made us better. Our options off the bench are not necessarily tearing things up. They've been more to see games out in recent weeks, and the subs didn't help us last week. But I think this is Everton Football Club. What is it, 1999 since they last got a result at Anfield? Kev Campbell game. And so, come on, there are adults walking around who've procreated and earned university degrees, and they've still not seen Everton win a game at Anfield. And so long may that continue.
Yeah, long may that continue indeed. There was a brilliant stats last night. I think Rich Jolly put up that Everton have only led in the 21st century at Anfield for less than half an hour at Anfield in total, which is more of that as well. So who are you picking, Lizzie? Do you think the team picks itself? Do you think he's got to ask the lads he played on Tuesday to go again? He hasn't got huge amounts of options, you wouldn't have thought.
Yeah, I think he has to be honest. And I think had Curtis Jones not played so well, and Milner was fit, I think there would have been a Milner question. But I feel like Curtis just has sort of stepped up the last couple of games where he's needed to when he's coming. Now, I did think he looked a bit tired, but like Johnny said there, you know, it's a decent little break from Tuesday to Saturday night. You know, Scouser as well scored in the derby at Anfield. He would love to play in this game. So I think he does have to ask the same team to go again just because there's such a lack of options. And I think it's no bad thing if he's fit. And obviously it's worth saying that we are recording this before the press conference tomorrow. Mm-hmm. That if for some reason James Milner can get fit, stick him on the bench. I think he's a brilliant first sub, but he's someone to bring on to either control a game or help chase a game. He's an experienced dad, and that's what I would be looking to do. And hopefully we get a couple of the lads back. Like, I don't know, even just like a Naby Keita would be a nice little option. Or a Divock Origi to scare Jordan Pickford again would be fine as well.
I think a hallmark though of recent derbies, or certainly under Klopp, is he's prone to throw a mad one in anything that you're not expecting.
I know.
I if he rested Mo Salah on Saturday, we would all like be panicking in the way we were when he named all those kids in the cup. I mean, I'm not for 1 second suggesting he might be wrong, but there's always a mad one in Jürgen. I think he almost likes to show his disdain for Everton by showing a team that, almost like if we were playing in the early rounds of the League Cup, let's rotate a little bit. So I wouldn't be surprised if there are, I agree with Lizzie, I would go with the same team from the other night, but but I wouldn't be surprised if there's something absolutely wild in there as well.
What do you think, Rob?
I don't know. I think if I asked me to bet on it, I'd go with the same again option. John's not crazy here. I don't think it's for the wild card factor though. I think he could just go. I mean, last time we were away in Europe, we were very jaded just afterwards, I think, after the Midgetland game. I can't remember who we played, but I don't think we got it was a particularly good result or performance. Was it Fulham? Something like that. I think he could be tempted to put Origi in for one of the front three, and he could be tempted. It depends how he's shown in training. Naby Keita, maybe say to Curtis, look, you'll definitely see action here, but I need fresh legs. That's a way he might be thinking, but I think on balance, the other side of that coin is Tuesday to Saturday night is a long enough gap. There's no game for 8 days afterwards. They're a unit now, have played virtually the same 11 for three games running, possibly. You get them into some sort of a rhythm, they're confident together. So I'd say the clever money is on same again.
Yeah, no, I agree. Are we all confident, though? That's what we're asking. I'll start with you, Johnny. Are you feeling good about it?
I will externally project out of confidence to anyone, particularly an Evertonian that's listening. Deep down, I don't think we've earned enough yet to be absolutely confident in any outcome at this stage. But my deep lying, passionate disdain for them means that I will, in every public forum, and including this one, I will pretend to be completely and utterly confident that we're going to win.
Liz Wright, how are you feeling, Lizzie? How's the nerves?
If I'm being honest, I'm a little bit nervous, but I'm always nervous for the derby. I am, and even like when we're flying, I'm always... Yeah, it's honestly, derby belly is a thing, and I just think it's got a little added spice to this one because there's this top four chat and all stuff like that. So I am a bit nervous, I think. But I am more nervous because of us and not because of them. That's what I will say. It's not because I think they're some amazing outfit. I think they've done all right, and I think they've done well. I think they've got a great player in Calvert-Lewin who could probably attack us on set pieces and stuff like that. But my nervousness is down to whether Liverpool make a mistake and sort of fall apart again. Now I just hope that they can hold it together. I really do. But, you know, I'll go with Johnny and just say, for the sake of the podcast, for the sake of everyone listening, Liverpool will come out winning this game.
How are you feeling, Rob?
As Lizzie said, I'm always routinely nervous before any derby and never would ever say, oh, I'm confident. But I actually am much more confident with this. For the main reason, and it's confidence-based and not bravado. I think, I want to say it should help us, there being no fans, but it makes it less of a derby for me. It makes it less of a derby, and we're just that much better than them. And I know that hasn't served to get us results in recent times. Teams that we've been better than have got results against us. And although they will defend deep, I don't think they'll defend deep as some of the minnows we faced who've got joy out of us. I think they will feel they have to take the game to us at times, and I think we'll be ready for them. I think the signs are that in patches we're playing like Liverpool, the intensity is coming back into our game. I think our desire to get the result will be greater than theirs. I know I'm more confident than usual.
More confident than usual. I'm feeling pretty confident too. Listen, there's going to be loads more from the Anfield app looking ahead to this game. The Team Talk show on the audio subscription service will be straight after the press conference tomorrow. So we'll be reacting to what Jürgen said. He might be claiming he's got Virgil back. Who knows? But if he is, so we'll be sort of reacting to that. Also on the video side, we've been doing these brilliant previews. Robbo and Neil have been doing, which involves Gareth walking somewhere and filming himself and then having a lovely chat with Neil outside in the cold, and so that's something to look out for tomorrow as well. And obviously straight after the game we'll be doing all our usual reaction stuff, hopefully after a tremendous Liverpool win. So we think it's a great time to subscribe to the Anfield app. If you don't, come and join us, theanfieldapp.com/subscribe. But in the meantime, thanks a lot to Johnny, to Rob and to Lizzie. Up the Reds, stop battering them, Saturday. Sports Social Podcast Network.